Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365 because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
Here we go. What's happening, everybody? It is the Rugby Rant episode 212. I'm Rob the Hammer Hammerschmidt, and I am with, well, is an auxiliary member, if not just a member by appearance, and that would be none other than Rick the Jackal King Collins. How the hell are you, Rick?
Yeah, I don't know if I'm still the Jackal King, but I'm still a board member for the Jackal Den as we try to survive this year of woe without being able to watch our let's say infamous Dallas Jackals on the field. Unfortunately, one year after failing to make arrears payments, and we're sitting here watching Houston and you know, everybody else in MLR, but especially watching Houston succeed on the field has been a challenge.
Yeah, I'm sure. It's tough to watch your neighbor get themselves into the playoffs. And, of course, with their early exit last year that was at the Jackals' hands, I'm sure it's a tough moment to take. But that being said, before we pull too much away from that topic, I know last year last fall, at some point we were, you know, there was the big question whether they would come back because, you know, it wasn't like super clear that they were folding. It was just that they hadn't made their payments and they were pulling out.
Yeah, it was really weird. They kind of left it open that we were not going to play in MLR in 2025, I believe was the way that they phrased it. So it was like, are they going to play in SRA or are they going to – like, what are we doing? Are they, and in fact, saw the coach and one of the owners and the sitting president of the club at a Texas event, TRU event, Texas Rugby Union, and I got to chat with Kuka, and they were still positive about the Jackals moving forward, which was really weird. We're now in the position of, for certain, the Jackals are not coming back. That organization is folded. As far as I can tell, the only thing left is the IP of the club. Obviously the logo and branding and the name, and that's it. And I don't know if that's been sold off. Could well have been maybe sold to MLR on the cheap, just in case a future
somebody comes back.
Holds for a new Dallas Jackals, which I just I can't imagine anytime soon, unfortunately.
No, I don't foresee that either. And it is rather interesting the way they phrased that when they, you know, made their exit from the MLR. But it certainly looks like it's done and dead at this point. leaving us with 11. And we haven't heard much as far as additional teams coming in for next season.
Really bizarre, because there's always rumors.
Every
season, especially towards the end of the season and into the summer, that, you know, there's going to be at least one or two potential teams jumping in the next season. And it's really been quiet. You know, who was it? One of the owners was saying that they were hoping to get to 30 teams or 32 teams or something outrageous before the 2031 World Cup here in the US. That's not happening.
No,
there's just no chance that that's happening right now.
No chance, no shot.
And as you've said, and as I've said many times before, I think 16 is the sweet spot,
right?
And gives you a nice 8-8. And you could easily come up with 8 different locations, great locations on the West Coast and Central, split with East and Central, East and kind of Midwest, and have a great league. That just sticks to 16 and maintains the level of competition, which I think if you spread it out to 20, 30 teams is far too thin, and there's not enough money to do it. So I love the idea of getting to 16, but right now that's even hard to imagine at this point.
Yeah, it sure doesn't look like it's going to be there. As great as it would be to have 16 teams and have, you know, 50% of them make the playoffs, you know, 8 make the playoffs, at least 8 out of the playoffs, that'd be great to see by 2031. I just don't see it happening. We haven't seen or heard any real rumblings recently of any teams coming in. I'd love to see or hear an announcement of at least one more team to make it 12, and it simplifies the schedule a little bit, and we'll talk about that in a while. But right now, it just doesn't seem like that's happening, unfortunately. I think there are a couple hotbeds that could really take advantage of, you know, rugby. But again, that topic, as this topic always creeps up, it's people that go, well, the MLR should be in this city, and the MLR should be in Vancouver, and the MLR should be in this. And I just want to choke some people. And I don't mean to be a jerk. I try to be, you know, a deferential, but the same token too, it's like people forget that the MLR doesn't drive where they want rugby and where they want teams. It's dictated by an ownership group that comes in and makes a commitment to doing it. They contact and initiate that conversation with the league, move forward with the process, and then the league ownership votes on it. And that's how it happens. And so, you know, we can hope and dream and whatever else have you, but the bottom line is, unless an ownership group from a city comes out and makes a claim, puts in, you know, and that negotiating agreement with the league and puts the money on the table and puts a product out there, it ain't happening.
You've got to have a business plan, which means you have to have a stadium in mind. You have to have vendors in mind. You have to have all those things nailed down, which means you have marketing a location strategy in mind that MLR is not a part of. You're saying, I want it in my city, or I want it in whatever city it is that you want. And then the MLR goes, you have, you know, all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed and money's good. All right, let's go.
And they give it their blessing, right? But, you know, so all those people that are saying, I want it here and I want it in my city, this, that, and the other. All right. Put up to $24 million.
That's right.
You know, and then you can get it. But until then, until we have that, the MLR isn't in a position to really, you know, I don't know that they're in a position even to market or even to strategize in a particular city that they want to see rugby grow.
I think they would, obviously, they would love to be able to do that. I think the league would love to be able to say, look, we absolutely need a team in San Francisco. Let's find the money, put it together, you know, approach the rugby clubs in San Francisco, approach whoever, some wealthy, you know, billionaire in that area, and get this thing going to support it going forward. But we're not even close to that. I mean, NFL could barely handle something like
that. Right. And the closest they've ever come, and I know this firsthand, is, you know, when they hear about, you know, groups or some interested parties that have some financial backing in the same city, they might put, you know, who have made inquiries into the league might say, hey, let's put these two groups in touch. Maybe you guys can join forces and work something out and move forward with a really, really strong ownership group between the two or three of you. That's as close as it comes. But other than that, they don't, you know, they really don't make that decision. So I wish
let's be honest, with the level of marketing in the league and the level of advertising specifically, MLR has a lot bigger fish to fry than to go out and try and make those things work.
Right. I was watching maybe Max or something like that on my Roku, and one of the commercials that pops up at that point, I think it was when I was watching, my wife and I were watching White Lotus, was the PLL, so the Premier Lacrosse League.
Right.
And I'm like, gee, have we seen anything like that from the MLR that would begin to push
just
that?
Just something like, you know, you're watching YouTube videos and you get the Mac Weldon and the, you know, Mando and things like that. Why are we not seeing ads there? Like, there's plenty of people on there that, you know, you could advertise to over and over and over for much lower price. I mean, there's avenues to do it, and it just, I don't know if MLR is just saying, well, we just don't know that's the best way to make, you know, spend the money, or that's not the audience we want to get to. Whatever it is, we're all saying they need to be doing these things. It's not happening. I don't know if it's just the budget just in there.
Right. And that could be. So, hey, look, fans, we're going to get to the getting here. And of course we always do an around the pitch, and we'll get to that in a moment, but stay tuned, 'cause after that, we're going to hit the rant, and Rick and I are going to sit down. I mean, it's playoff season, baby. This is what we're waiting for. It's, I will say there's like a bittersweet component to it for me. It's sweet because it's great rugby. It's bitter because it also signifies that the season is quickly approaching an end, and that's a little bit of a bummer. But hopefully, you know, as it ends and the international season quickly picks up in July, and then later on in August to September, that'll be enough rugby to carry us through. And then, of course, we have the Women's World Cup and some fall internationals. So there's a lot of stuff going on, I think, to carry us all the way through the rest of 2025. But before we do that, we're going to be talking about the playoffs, kind of talk a little bit about the 2025 regular season, our final thoughts, and then we'll make our playoff predictions, folks. That's right. Last week, I was by myself, and I correctly predicted the seedings in the for the playoffs. Wasn't that hard to do? We had a pretty good picture of at least who was in the field in the East, but in the West, it was a little less. It was a little murkier. Nevertheless, I picked the seedings all correctly, so feather in my cap. But nevertheless, we're gonna come back with you guys in just a moment with a little bit of around the pitch. All right, before we do that, just a real quick plug, and that is for the rugby party happening on November 1st, 2025 at Reggie Chicago, huge bar downtown, put on by my man, Norm Smythe, who, by the way, does great artwork, designs by the Norm. If you see that, where's my rugby rant? I had it someplace. Anyway, my rugby rant piece, he did that. Nevertheless, Norm's putting on this big party at Reggie's. Big venue, a lot going on. Doors open at 9. Food and drink go along with the price of admission. They give free shuttles to and from the game. The party will continue afterwards. But this is important. For the first time ever, Scott and I will be doing a remote location rant on the day, and we're going to be bringing in some guests that are going to be at the venue having a good time. So we hope to have some pretty solid guests. At the time, it should be a great party. So join us. You can get, you know, below in the socials, you can click and get your table reserved if you want a table and guarantee your spot for the rugby party. So with that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Rick the Jackal King Collins. and hear what he has to say about his first rant.
Yeah. Around the pitch. So I'm going to have to say, you know, British-Irish Lions, look forward to it. It's one of the best tours to watch. I'd love to go see a match someday, but they're going to be touring Australia. I know that their first match is against Argentina. I'm going to say that I think the Lions will lose to Argentina and then they will go undefeated in Australia. So yeah. I don't know if that's a hot opinion, but I'm calling it hot.
It is. It is. It's a hot opinion.
All right.
It's a hot opinion.
And on top of that, these tours are probably one of the things that's keeping the rugby unions internationally afloat right now, because
yeah,
I think it's not a well-kept secret that rugby unions across the world have been struggling for the last 8, 9 years, almost 10 years, about as long as MLR has been around. And even I would say like the hotbeds, England, New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, clubs are struggling, and it's due to finances. And I wonder if something needs to happen in the form of how, for example, English Premier League soccer started with a, you know, more formal competition back in a long time ago. Was it 40 years ago? Jesus, I'm getting old. And it feels like rugby needs something like that. And I don't know that the URC is that. And I'll get to that in a second. But we see, you know, top 14. So France is doing pretty well. Japan is doing mediocre. They're supported by huge corporations there. France is supported by local communities. I'm not sure that there's like a you know, golden ticket or a skeleton key to figure out how to solve this problem. But it's definitely something that's concerning, because one of the keys for MLR success is having the players have the opportunity to go and play at these higher level competitions and then bring that knowledge and that experience back to MLR. We've seen, you know, most of the starters in the last 2 or 3 World Cups have been guys who either weren't born here, but had a parent or grandparent in past years that were American, but also guys who would go overseas, play in England, play in France, and then come back and play in MLR at the beginning years. I think that was hugely important for the development of the players who don't get that opportunity here. And we need to expand that opportunity. And if rugby unions are struggling overseas, and as you see, some of them are actually bringing in the competition. So Wales, for example, may bring down their professional sides to 2 playing in URC. That's hugely concerning. So I think that's something to watch going forward. The other hot take I have is that the next USA head coach is the current Anthem head coach. And that is the former Dallas Jackals head coach, Cuca, who was a former Argentinian lock. So I'm just throwing it out there. It's out there in the verse now. So mark that one up if I end up right on that one.
So now, all right. So I have 2 questions for you.
Yeah.
First, it's interesting that the British and Irish Lions are playing Argentina. I don't know that that's ever happened. You know, usually when they go on tour, they go right into the country. They play some of the top level teams. If they're going to New Zealand or Australia or South Africa, they play, you know, their provincial teams. Right. And they play a smattering of other games, but I don't know that they've ever played another national team aside from the one in which the country they
right?
And my question is this kind of a test to see if there is some grease behind the wheels of having, of expanding the British Irish lines now to something that goes, now let's include Argentina in the mix.
Well, okay? I don't even think it's that. I think it's, they need to expand the British Irish lines tour. They need to create more of these type of tours because that's what's bringing in money right now. So why this is being played in Ireland instead of being played in Las Vegas or New York or go to Dubai, somewhere like somewhere to open up a larger international audience is wild to me.
And see, here's the thing. Like, I think you're onto something. If they would have gone to SoFi in LA, or they would have gone to Vegas. If they would have gone to Vegas, like, I think you would have found a lot of British and Irish Lions followers would have said, okay, we're just going to go from England to Vegas. We're going to be in Vegas for, you know, 5-6 days. We're going to see that match. It's going to be included in our tour package, right? And then we're going to continue on to Australia. So we get a nice layover in the United States, right? We get to have a good time, have a ball, celebrate in one of the party cities in the world. And then you continue on, right? That makes a lot of sense to me. And then you also can really start to build up momentum in the United States. Like, I don't know if I would have the funds, but I think I would have really considered doing that, you know,
with my wife going,
hey, look, I've never been to Vegas, right? And I think I could have sold my wife, Mrs. Hammer, hey, let's go watch a rugby game. Another one? Wait a minute. It's in Vegas. I've never been to Vegas. Let's do 2 or 3 or 4 days. I think they would have killed it. Yes. I think they would have killed it there. Yeah, right.
Absolutely.
So I think you're onto something. So then the other question that comes along with that is, should the British and Irish Lions, should they expand and go, hey, let's play France, one of the other six nations countries that like generates a lot of interest.
Yes. So there's this, you know, we don't want to, I'm forgetting the term, gatekeep. You know, the lower levels of rugby, but the sport desperately needs money invested. And as we've seen, especially here in the US, the matches that get the biggest numbers, the most money are when New Zealand and Ireland play, or England and France play over. I mean, just for example, just two powerhouse teams with huge followings here, right? And I think doing that in especially locations where there are lots of expats, huge.
Right. And I could even see it would have been interesting if they would have done like that, like a game in the United States against the USA, although I don't think the USA would have had a good enough run up to do it and just have a kind of a wink and a nod agreement. Hey, you're not putting out your first side.
Oh yeah. You put out the practice side like, to get them
like a midweek side. Right. Yeah. Let's get a midweek side, something like what they used to do during the traditional, Lions tours. Right. Something like that would have been really intriguing now, wouldn't it? That would have been really intriguing. Just
all-star game is to play against the midweek, British and Irish, Cubs, whatever you want.
That would be cool too. That would have been pretty cool too. All right, cool, man. Well, I like those hot takes. I like them a lot. I'm going to go with two hot takes, Rick, that revolve around one of my favorite teams. I'm talking about none other than, Nola Gold. So first of all, just announced today, Jonah Ma'u was named to the Samoan Summer Squad. 15 games. That's right, 15 games. 1,041 minutes for the Nola Gold, 40 points, 8 tries, 170 carries, 181 tackles, 18 turnovers forced, and 64 contested breakdowns. The guy was an animal all over the pitch, runs like an absolute beast, and it was really good to see him play super well for his second season in the MLR at the Nola Gold. So congratulations to Jonah. Hopefully he comes back for a third go-round with the Nola Gold. They certainly could use his leadership.
What a rough season for the Gold, despite the quality of play that we saw on the field for a good majority of it, and so many phenomenal individual performances throughout the season, and a potential Rookie of the Year. in the back row.
Yeah.
Nonetheless.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Aiden King, you don't know Aiden King. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think part of it is they're getting older, you know, and I'll talk about that one in a moment, and they're getting older and they had some injuries, you know, their eight man Gaultier, who was supposed to come in and really be a difference maker for him, really never played for the Nola. I mean, he had a couple matches and some minutes here and there, but never really played. Xavier Mignon, who was their winger, really played well at the beginning of the year. But then we didn't see him much after the latter half. So Pat O'Toole went down to, you know, to concussions, I believe, was out for most of the season. I mean, they just sustained a lot of injuries, and I really think it banged them up a bit. But that leads me to my second MLR and Nola Gold related around the pitch, and that is Cam Dolan officially retired from rugby. Okay. It was interesting. Because when Nola was here in Chicago, I got a chance to chat with him after the match.
Did he get another fan? No, not quite.
In the league?
Yeah.
Oh God, I'd have to talk to James Dealey, the statsman. I'm not sure that he did, but the fan came up to Cam, said, "Hey, I can't wait to see you with the Eagles." And Cam goes, "I'm done." He goes, "Next weekend's my last match." And he was, of course, talking about this last match with New England, which, interestingly, he never played and wasn't even rostered. And I thought that was interesting. Although I communicated with him, it didn't bother him. He didn't seem slighted and feel like he didn't get that last hurrah. I was disappointed for him that he didn't. But I was feeling fortunate that I did get a picture of his last MLR game with him after the game. So 35 years old, 67 caps. He's tied for second with Mike McDonald, a legend, second only to Todd Clever. Interestingly, Cam actually, his first cap against Fiji in his debut in 2013 in the Pacific Nations Cup actually came in as a sub for Todd Clever. So the very man who he almost eclipsed, he was about 9 caps shy, I believe, of eclipsing him for the most caps in an Eagle jersey. He came on for, he played for the U-20s as a USA, I think 5 games, 189 professional games, 2 seasons with Northampton, 2 with Cardiff Blues, 1 with San Diego Legion, 7 with Nola Gold. And he personally told me this a little while ago. The Eagle with the most number of wins. So he's first on the list of the Eagle with most number of wins. The second in caps, I mentioned that. And the third in tries with 21. He is only behind Via Anatoni and Joe Taufete, one of his Nola Gold teammates this last season. So, first of all, Cam is, I consider, a friend of mine. Congratulations, Cam, on an amazing season, amazing career. Not only just a true gentleman of the game. I mean, every time he stepped on the field, he brought a rugby IQ and a knowledge and an understanding of the game and an athleticism for his guy at 6'6", was just amazing. I mean, he could have played a lot of sports, but the fact that he chose rugby has only made USA rugby better. So Cam, thanks to you, mate. Well done. Well earned. Enjoy your next phase, if we will, of your life. I know you're settling down with Ellen there in New Orleans. It's great to see. And good luck in that next phase. I know you'll do well and enjoy life with Ellen. You guys are happy and I love to see it, brother. So good luck to you, mate. So with that, folks, we're going to carry on now that we got around the pitch knocked out. And like I said, Rick and I are going to talk about the season, the regular season, and we're going to do a preview of the playoffs, and we'll end that with a selection of what we think is going to happen in the playoffs, what we suspect will happen in the playoffs, and who our selections are for winning that. I think there's an opportunity for some upsets. We'll see what Rick has to say. Of course, his Jackals last year delivered one of those upsets that nobody expected. Maybe he can at least predict another one. So before we do that, we're going to get a word from our sponsors. Again, we had a great season with Macron, providing us some our fans with some great kit. Those hoodies are spectacular. A lot of those being handed out. I'd like to throw a shout out Therese Botha's dad, Quentin Botha, who is the winner of week 17. We're still going to be giving out hoodies over these next couple of weeks for predictions. And of course, there's the grand prizes that are coming out. So we'll get those. But if you haven't seen it, this is a pretty cool piece. This is the Hero Rigel shirt that I'm wearing here. It's pretty nice. It's comfy. It fits real snug. I like it. So you can get all that for my price. That's the price Scott and I pay, which is it's a pretty good deal. So we're going to hear a word from our sponsors. We'll come back with our rant previewing the playoffs of the MLR 2025. Rick, we got it rolling here. Looking forward to it. Let's get hot. Yep. To use Scott's phrase, let's get hot. I'm excited about this one. And let's take it, you know, take by take, right? Now, I'll let you pick. We kind of talked about these pre-show, but we have a number of takes. Just, kind of have a look at the season that was 2025, at least the regular season, and come away with some things. So we've talked about a few of those things, but I'm going to let you pick the first one. We'll just take a couple of minutes on each one and give our thoughts.
Yeah, we'll start with the harshest thing for me, and that's Anthem RC. I predicted 3 wins, and that was 3 too many. 0-16, minus 288 points, point differential, and they only got 5 bonus points. So I just have to say, like, I think 3 wins would have been nice. 2 wins kind of expected, I think, at the beginning of the season. 0 wins is a disappointment for a team that even we know is not aiming for necessarily wins in MLR. I think 0 wins is pretty disappointing.
Yeah, I was, we'll kind of get to it a little bit, but it was kind of interesting because one of the one opportunity for the first win almost came against Houston, a 1-point difference in that match. That would have been certainly interesting to see them come out with that victory. And they had a lot of close matches. They scored a lot of points. Unfortunately, they just couldn't put together a whole 80-minute game to pull out a win this year.
Yeah, they. I think the biggest issue I noticed with them was just the bus driver. They didn't necessarily have a 10 that was there for the full season, kind of guiding the ship, and even went back and forth with 9 a few times. They start off the season with, I think, Carl Keen playing 10 and Carlo DeNison playing 9. And then they, I think for health reasons, they ended up bringing in, was it Gerlach? Not that early. I can't remember who it was. They brought in early to play some 10. That didn't work out. They finally got Lubser back, started him at 10, which obviously I think they played their best rugby with him at 10, and either Carlo or Carl at 9. But then they brought in Cam Gerlach from LA. And he's promising. He's a promising young player. But not high enough level rugby player for MLR at this moment. I actually thought they should have brought in I'm sure he wouldn't. He probably wouldn't have signed. But Chicago's Hilsenbeck, who came over from Germany, he would have been a great signing to bring in at 10 for that young USA team trying to develop themselves towards 2031, but Chicago got him, and Chicago ended up playing quite well with him. So you're welcome.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't it kind of support what we've been talking about all along, is that, you know, teams need kind of those decision makers, 9, but more so 10, perhaps 15, that have, and maybe even two, have a wealth of experience.
Yeah.
Coming in, you know, and we're talking about international experience. And perhaps if they would have had that, they could have eked out a victory or two. So that's an interesting one. My hot take is the parity. I thought that there was a lot of parity in the league this year. Without getting too deep into the weeds, I kind of looked at some of the schedules and it was pretty mind-boggling. But when you look at it, like, like I said, that one point loss to Houston by Anthem. But, you know, Utah beat Chicago.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line, now 20% lower. Family plans, also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number. Not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Close your eyes and imagine what you'll look like 6 months from now. How's your hair look? The same? Now picture how your hair would look if you started using Hims. If you're picturing the same you as before, but with much thicker and fuller hair, you'd be correct. What can happen in 3 to 6 months? You could pick up a new hobby and get not that good at it yet. You could do about half of your New Year's resolution. You could learn a few songs on the piano or pick up bass guitar. Or you could start seeing thicker, fuller hair regrowth through Hims. Not bad for just 3 to 6 months. Men, if you're starting to notice your hair thinning when you look in the mirror, you're not alone. Life just gets busier and busier, and it can feel like there's not enough time in the day to do something about it. So, try Hims Hair Loss Solutions. You can avoid jumping through a bunch of frustrating hoops and get access to treatment without even leaving your home. Hims provides you with the convenient access to a range of hair loss treatments that work, all from the comfort of your couch. Hims makes treating hair loss simple with doctor-trusted options and clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil that can regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Choose from personalized, chewable, oral, spray, and serum treatments to find what works best for you. The process is simple and 100% online, so there are no uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a few questions and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Hims has hundreds of thousands of trusted subscribers, and they can help you get your confidence back too with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Results may vary based on studies on topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for full details and important safety information.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
I go twice, but I think Houston split with Seattle, and they beat Houston twice. And, you know, you just had a lot of teams kind of surprise other teams and kind of go out of character and get a win or maybe even get a loss, you know. And then a team like New England loses, I think, 4 on the trot. And then they come back to win, you know, I think they won, win 11-1, if I'm not mistaken, something like that. Not 11-1,
it would have been 8 of 10 after that, those 4 losses early on. But they were really hurt by Potros getting injured. And it took them some time to figure out how to play without him.
Well, that, and to be honest with you, like Ryan Martin came in, although he was not new to the setup, you know, it was a changeover from their two championship years, you know, with Matthew. I think it took the team a little bit of getting used to adjusting their kicking game. And then when they lost Patros, I think that hurt too, because he is such a quality kicker of the ball in play. And, you know,
that's going to come up here in a few minutes as well when we talk about the playoffs.
Yeah. I can't wait to hear what that's all about. So for me, I thought the parity was excellent. This season,
I really enjoyed the Western Conference standings. Utah in first with 58 points. A huge surprise, actually, yeah. I think, for most people. I think people expecting them to be better, but not that much better. And then San Diego misses the playoffs with 48 points. That's good enough for third place in the Eastern Conference. And you don't make the playoffs at 48 points. You went 500, don't make the playoffs when 90% of the league gets into the playoffs. That's tough.
Right, exactly.
Two bonus point wins out of first place.
Right.
That's wild.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know, and then you have on the Eastern Conference, you have stacked up. You have you have two teams that could have in the last week could have exchanged one and two. And then, you know, the third and fourth spot could have flip-flopped very easily in that last week. And you know, really, a lot of the West came down to that last week as well, the playoff seeding. So you're right. I think that proves that there was a lot of parity when things come down to that last week and make a difference for the playoffs.
Maybe another reason not to expand too much. If you're going to expand maybe by one team, I could see that. But with the way the league is playing, and I brought it up, is I don't think the quality of play has significantly change from last year to this year, and that's the first year where I watched plenty of MLR, and I thought, well, I mean, it looks about the same level of rugby as last year, maybe slightly better, but we talked about, and we've been talking about for years now, every year in MLR, it seemed like the league was taking a gigantic leap in quality of play. And the world was even noticing. I mean, people are talking about MLR across the globe and saying, man, I mean, I wouldn't mind going over and playing a season or two.
So, but that's just it, is like, I don't know that I disagree with you, but I would be interested in seeing more matchups. We talked about it in the around the pitch component, where maybe an MLR all-star team plays, I don't know, maybe the British Irish Lions, or they play another team, you know, a team in this, you know, in the July internationals, just to give us an idea of where the MLR sits in comparison to other competitions, because quite frankly, RFCLA was within one score, I believe, of Drua. Now Drua is not the top of the comp in their competition, but having said that, you know, they're competitive. And it was at the beginning of RFCLA's season, and they, under a new coach, under a new system, and they really played pretty well. I mean, RFCLA, one arguably could say they're playing the best rugby when they need to, and that's in the back half of the season where we're seeing them playing some of their best rugby. You know, one would argue that they might have, you know, if they had played them now, we'd be having a different conversation about that result with Drua.
I agree. I think the 10-12 combo for RFCLA only got better as the season went on. Early Lealofano seemed a lot more responsible for the action of play. And as you saw, it became much better when there were plays to get Billy Meeks in a playmaking responsibility position on the field with the ball. And they're able to split the field with two, you know, good decision makers. That team was really good. And then Gonzalo Bertrano, I mean, he's got to be in the top five for MLR MVP. He was phenomenal this year. I don't think that team is anywhere near the top of the Western Conference without him.
He was certainly a spark plug for that team. I think you know, again, it goes back to the conversation we had just a little bit earlier, where, you know, you have a number nine, you have some a 9 and 10 with some experience, international experience playing in other comps, and you're having some pretty strong conversations about the success. I mean, it's an indicator of success of a team. So correct. I think you're right there. Let's talk about another topic. What about, you know, we've had now a regular season with ESPN. I think there was a lot of criticism because, you know, A, what do they do with the Rugby Network? But B, you know, only 5 national broadcast games. You know, what was your takes on?
Yeah. And just to start with TRN real quick is it, now looking back and seeing, you know, why they got the rights to Premiership, to show those matches and put it behind a paywall makes a lot more sense now that we saw a season without MLR on it. It's like that was the only way they're going to keep that thing alive. Because I'm sure MLR was driving 95-96% of the traffic on that site. But I loved having seen college rugby and things on it. ESPN, I will say that I didn't watch as much MLR this season as I have in the past, and obviously because my team wasn't playing, but even so, I think at the beginning of the season, I still watched almost every single match, mostly delayed, but I still put in the time. But as the season wore on, I found myself, it wasn't as easy to just jump in like in the Rugby Network app and just have it right there in front of you and just tap on it and go. And obviously TRN had plenty of technological issues. ESPN, you had to go hunting for it. So I had to really put in the time to go look for the game I wanted to watch. And so I don't think I watched quite as much. And I wonder if, you know, I'd like to see the numbers at the end of the season. How many more people watch on ESPN Plus than watch on TRN? I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. But I didn't feel like there are just going to be those people who have ESPN Plus and just came across MLR and put it on and watched it. Yeah, it's very hard for me. It's not like Hulu or Netflix or Apple where it's like they still advertise the hell out of shows and things like that where you're like, oh, okay, I'll give this a try. Like it was hidden deep in the bowels of ESPN Plus.
I don't disagree with you there, and that's I wish their app was their app or how their app functions is a little bit more intuitive in the sense that, you know, the more I click on the MLR icon, right? It should be moving to the front, you know, over and above, you know, volleyball or some, you know, some other sport.
Or field hockey.
Right. That being said, like the move with ESPN makes a little bit more sense now over and above for me than over and above it did at the beginning of the season, in the sense that some of the games, you know, like one of the midweek game against Chicago versus Houston, that was one of the national games. And I understand why they did that, you know, because it put it on ESPN2 where it's more accessible. Yeah. And when they did show those games, like on a Monday night or a Wednesday night or whatever, their ratings would go up. So even though they don't show, it doesn't show as well on TV, they are getting better ratings. And I was talking with Will Hooley a little bit about it. And he goes, you know what, mate? He goes, the MLR and rugby should, in the United States, should just own that time, whether it's Monday night, that time slot, or Wednesday night, just to own it and embrace it, right? Mm-hmm. And like a Monday night rugby or a Friday night rugby, just embrace it and make it ours and draw in viewers. And I think that's what the MLR is going for, because quite frankly, ESPN Plus is more available in bars around the United States to where, you know, you know, if you're at a bar, you could go, hey, I want to watch a rugby match. And I had more than a few people, you know, especially that game on that Wednesday night on ESPN2, one of my shout out to Joe, Joe, former student of mine, goes, he texts me, or sorry, he put it up on Facebook. He said, you know, I'm watching ESPN2 at a bar and rugby's coming on. And he says, and I'm thinking to myself, man, Mr. Hammer would love this. He'd love the fact that rugby's on ESPN2. And I taught Joe's son just not a couple of years ago. And he goes, and then lo and behold, Mr. Hammer's on TV.
He's on TV.
And so, yeah.
You can't watch it because he's on it.
Yeah, I've had more than a few people that you know, have been watching matches that saw production and went, oh, yeah, there's rugby. So I think the exposure's better.
The key is getting on ESPN2. And maybe what you're saying is right, but I don't want those Monday night matches on ESPN+. Those matches need to be on ESPN2.
Right. We need to own them and truly own them and own that time slot.
I think if you're going to say we're going to do Saturday, Sunday, and then we're going to have a Monday night match on ESPN2 every week. Every week we're going to have that Monday night match. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
What drove me nuts and what I want to jump into next is the midweek matches.
Okay. We got to get to this quick, Rick, because we still have to talk about the playoffs.
I can't do the midweek matches. I'm neck deep in fantasy rugby now, especially fantasy MLR. There's website devoted. There's multiple leagues going on. There was money involved this year. I did not win any of it, unfortunately. Took third place in both of my leagues. But the midweek matches are killers for fantasy, one. That's personal opinion. Two, it's got to be killers for the players. We're minor league baseball, and you're expecting players to play on a Wednesday and then play on a Sunday. I just not a fan. I think you could have a separate cup competition with, you know, development sides or something like that midweek. But I just don't like the midweek matches. And I hope that was just the Jackals are out. We got to figure out how to make this season work with the scheduling, but it's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And I think that's what it came down to, right? If you have 12 teams, you know, you could conceivably play you could rotate two teams, get a bye week each week, you know, from whatever, you know, starting with the third week or whatever, moving forward and rotate that through. And then you're still going to get your games. And unfortunately with, you know, the odd number, having 11 rather than 12, I think that was the result, is you had some of those midweek games that they just, like Houston had to play, you know, Chicago on the front end had to play a Saturday, and then they had to play again on Wednesday, and they played Houston on that Wednesday, and then Houston had to play that Wednesday, and they had to play the following Sunday.
Utah played like three matches in like 12 days or something ridiculous like that. Not acceptable, and the player union certainly is going to say something at the end of the season about not having that happen again. But so I was just not happy about that. So I'll take my piece to the playoffs.
I hear you. All right, so let's talk about it, the playoffs. With that being said, here's what we got, the final eight. The West, we got Houston, Utah.
These aren't in order.
They're not in order, no. Yeah, they're not. Well, actually, the East is, but the West is not.
That's weird.
Utah's got the top seed.
Yeah.
Just flip-flop Houston and Utah there, and you've got the West, and then the East, you've got New England, Chicago, Oakland, and Miami.
Put how they finished in order on there with the numbers, and now we're talking about what you would expect to see. Utah played phenomenal this year. I still don't see them as like a championship side. I struggle with it. They beat the hell out of several teams, and then they had some kind of inexplainable losses.
Right. Yeah, it's kind of funny you say that, because I look at Utah. They beat Chicago twice, but they, you know, they were beaten by Houston twice, you know, and it was just sometimes you're left scratching it. They split with Seattle. Right. So you're left scratching your head. It was weird. It was weird. So I agree with you there. So let's talk about
it. A three-point loss against New Orleans, who clearly was struggling in the middle of May, into May. What? In fact, I was at that match. So maybe it was just my good luck bringing New Orleans up at that match.
Rick's voodoo. I like it. Well, do me a favor and go go watch Chicago in person. So maybe you bring some of that voodoo with you. So let's talk about the West first. All right. Utah versus Seattle.
Yep. In Utah.
Utah.
Having that home field advantage, absolutely key for them. I don't know that gets them the win, but I think it makes for a much better match, because I think Seattle's just played really well the last half of the season, and I could see them making a run.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they, like I said, they split the season. Seattle won by 4 and Utah won by 3. So it's clearly, for me, the line is 3.5. Right. And
easy one.
I think if there's going to be an upset, it's going to come out of the West.
Yeah.
Right. And, but I don't know that Seattle's going to do that, especially traveling down to Utah.
I think both of the teams that got home field advantage against the team they're playing against desperately needed the home field advantage.
Yeah.
Because I think if those matches were played in the other locations, they'd be in trouble.
Right. I agree. So who you got between the Utah and Seattle?
I'm going to take this as my upset. I just think Seattle's played so much better the back half of the season. It seems like they've gotten healthy, even with Herbst out. Matthews will be back. I think they're fine. I think they win a very close one. I think maybe 2-point win somewhere in the, I'll say 32-30 is the final.
Okay. So it's counterintuitive to what Scott always says, because Utah is actually finished pretty well this season. I'm going to take Utah. I just think that home field advantage is going to play to their advantage.
It's the one thing that I don't like about the matchup is that Utah's got home field advantage.
Right. I'm going to go, they're going to win by 3. I think it's going to be like a 27-30 match.
Yeah.
So that's what I would go with. All right. About the flip side?
A lot, but Seattle's defense is so good. That's where I get caught. Yeah, they are. I think it's going to be right around 30. You're right.
What about Houston or UCLA? What do you got here?
I think Houston's going to win. I think it won't be super comfy, but it'll be comfy enough. I'm going to take Houston by 6. Home field advantage. Kutzer should be – maybe that's a stretch. But even with Alatimu, I still think they win. They've had injuries, but they've – shown that even with those injuries, they're a very formidable team. I think the home field advantage is the killer. It's going to be so hot in Houston. Oh my Lord. It's going to be 90s here in Dallas, which means Houston will be 95 and probably humid as hell. So I'm going to take them by 6 at home.
Okay. So
if they were playing in LA, I seriously think LA wins.
Yeah. Well, and I'm taking LA. Ooh, I'm taking LA. And I think Hoyles will have those guys fit. And I think the plan is to run the ever-loving piss out of Houston.
Mm.
I watched them do it against Chicago, a team that plays very similarly to Houston. Houston wants to play a ball control game. They want to use their forwards. They want to kick for territory. They want to use their set piece to establish dominance. And RFCLA seems to understand how to play against that. These two teams split during the regular season. RFCLA won by 2, Houston won by 15 early on in the season. I think RFCLA knows how to play against these teams like Houston, like Chicago. And I think Coyles have those guys very fit. He told me himself, he's like, we want to run, mate. We want to run. He said it at halftime against Chicago. He goes, they're not as fit as we are. We're going to own them at the end of the game. And he wasn't far off. That's why I'm going with RFCLA. I just think they're going to be fitter, even though it's going to be hot. I think it's going to wear down those forwards from Houston a bit more. And the RFCLA is going to run running down.
All right.
So, all right. Let's go with the East now.
We're at odds.
Yeah. Yeah, we're at odds in both those. All right, let's see where we match up.
Somebody's going to be the big loser.
That's right. Or we could split. But let's go to the East. I'm interested to see where we both land on this one. Of course, you have number one seed New England playing number four seed Miami. Let's talk about that one first.
I just think the way New England's played the last 4 or 5 weeks shows that they're not as dominant a team as they have been, especially compared to last year. But they're still the better team, even without Poitras. I think they had to call back in Dan Hollingshead, didn't they? I think he's back in duty. He was like, "Yeah, well, see you later, guys." And they're like, "Yeah, about that. We're gonna need you to come back." They'll be fine. I think at least for this match. My concern is going to be in the conference finals. But I'm taking them here by 10 at home. I just don't think Miami's got. They just don't have the, especially in the pack. I don't like Miami's set piece, and I think they just get destroyed by New England set piece in this match.
Yeah, I agree with that. First of all, I think it's important to recognize that Miami and New England split this season with the home team winning. And, of course, the home team is New England. And I think they're going to be tough to beat at Fort Quincy. I really do. They're 7-1 overall. It's kind of a hallowed ground for them. And I think they draw a lot of energy from the home crowd. I agree with you on the set piece. I think they control that. I think Oscar Lennon has been an amazing, spark plug for them. And quite frankly, with that, Vanderbank he comes up big in some real key situations. They have a good back row that, while quiet this year, not quite as on fire as I thought they would be. And just in terms of offense, they've been really, really good on defense and at the breakdown. So I do agree with you. I think that New England set piece is going to control.
Field is going to play to New England's advantage big time versus Miami, who really wants to get out with their backs and run around. And let's say they were playing Houston. I think Miami has a good shot on that big pitch, but not at Fort Quincy.
I agree with you. I agree with you. And I have a similar
35-25, I think, final there.
That's a good number. That's a good number. I forgot what I picked them in Super Brew, but I did pick New England, and I may have picked 12. So I think that's true. All right, let's go to the last one, number two seed Chicago versus OGDC. Interestingly, these two teams only played once this season. The conference, which is really weird, but who you got in this one?
I'm going to take Chicago. I think this, like the Seattle Utah match, is going to be very close. I picked Chicago versus Houston at the beginning of the season for the championship, and I still like Chicago. I like what they've done, even without Sweel at 10. He didn't even make the squad for the last match, I don't believe. Hilson Beck has been great for the last four or five weeks.
And actually, I don't know that they want to play him at 10 anymore. I mean, I think he's a good option to come in off the bench, or he's a guy that, is a utility guy that can play 10. I think they'd rather have him at 15. And I think his best rugby this season has been at the 15 position. While he's made a few positional errors in a couple of games at the 15, I think his attacking vision has been really, really, really good.
Yeah.
And I think that's where he's shown a lot of promises at the 15.
And so, it's another boot that you got on the field as well. But right. Hilsenbeck's phenomenal.
Hilsenbeck's the first choice 10.
It's unbelievable. Team.
Hilsenbeck's the first choice 10. Then you have, and I think they're going to pick Sweel at 15 over and above Adrian Carlissa. Carlissa will be off the bench.
You've got
most likely
four or five guys with a boot who are also good decision makers who could all play 10. I think Devoto on a dime could play 10. If he's kind of the off ball decision maker anyway. And he's been phenomenal this year. I think he maybe didn't quite score as much as he thought he might, but huge difference maker for them at 12. But I do think this is going to be a closer game than people might think. I'm going to pick Chicago by 4.
Okay. I like that. Well, so I'd say DeVoto for me has been a huge distributor this year. I think he's only scored a couple of tries, 2 or 3 tries at most, but where I think you really, if you watch his gameplay, his ability to spring other people, is he made an offload in, I think it was the LA game, if I'm not mistaken, it was that, just kind of under the armpit flick, just things like that, his ability to put that ball through space and find the wingers.
He's been kind of like a younger Billy Meeks for Chicago. Yeah. He's been phenomenal.
But for me, his ability to, I think he's more of a distributor than Billy ever is, So for me, I really like him and Bryce Campbell, little lightning and thunder combo right there. Yep. So it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited for this game. Obviously I get to be on the sidelines for this one. For me, that process never gets old, but I think it's going to be close. The Chicago 1-4 in their only meeting of the season, I'm taking Chicago by 3. But I think they're going to get a lot of juice from the home crowd, because I think they're going to have a really good crowd at this one. I think it's going to break for the Chicago Hounds break records. It's my prediction. And I think they're going to get a lot of juice from it. And interestingly, James English told me after they secured that home playoff match, he told me we're going to sell tickets for $25 a piece, basically. And that's a better price than you're getting, in between the 22s, that's the better price than you're getting throughout the season. So they're actually lowering ticket costs in the playoffs, then rather than jacking it up, which is what a lot of professional teams do. They drop the price to drop
it. I think it's going to be probably the biggest defensive matchup to me, I think, in this playoffs. There's a lot of offense on these teams. And I think MLR definitely has a very offensive angled league. I'm struggling between 22-18 and 24-20. I'll take 24-20 as the final score.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a super high scoring game. No. But I think that's a pretty good line, right? And they're about 21-24, 20 something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
I think there'll be a few kicks, and I'm struggling now because I want to say 22-18 cuz I think there's going to be more kicking for posts than we think there will be.
Well, and with these two teams, that kind of makes sense, right? I mean, now it's not about collecting bonus points or anything else, because you have a long-term vision for, the table. It's just about securing the wins. So I think teams, rather than going for the corner early on in the game where you want to maybe supplant some, physicality in the game and really, demonstrate that you can score points, now it's just about turning over that scoreboard and gaining some confidence.
Exactly.
But if the back, I think the big matchup is going to be in the back row.
Yeah,
I really do. It's going to be an interesting matchup.
Really interesting matchup between the two back rows. I like both of them. I think
Chicago's
a slightly better back row, and I think Chicago's set piece is, especially at lineout time.
Yes.
Little bit better.
I was going to say that.
Could be the difference maker.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, James Scott and Hamish Bain have been absolute killers in the lineout offensively, and then they've been really good on the defensive end at stealing away some lineout ball. I think that was the big difference maker with Houston game.
There's going to be a lot of loose lineouts at this. I think it's going to be the team able to secure and maybe get that one lineout try, that one mauling try. That could be the difference maker. Maybe at the end of the match. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. It's certainly going to be a fun game to be a part of. I can't wait for it. All right, Rick. So just a real quick rundown. If my notes are correct, in the West, Rick selected Seattle. I selected Utah. And he selected Houston. And I am taking RFCLA. And in the East, we agree. We're both taking New England. over Miami, and we were both taking Chicago over Old Glory. So some interesting results in this one. So we'll see what happens, but it's going to be a fun weekend, and I think we're both excited to see some excellent rugby on Saturday and Sunday
You know, we're only going to get ESPN Plus this week. I think once we get to that ESPN 2 with the conference finals, I think that's where we're going to see if we're going to really boost MLR's purview in American sports.
Yeah. Yep. Should be awesome. We're looking forward to it. All right, folks, once again, I'd like to just say a couple, you know, parting words here. Don't forget the rugby party. Join us. You can click below and get yourself some tickets to the rugby party November 1st. You can join Scott and I. We're going to have some great folks coming in for the game. I talked to TJ Olson from the Bonus Point. TJ's coming into town. I think he'll be on the pod with us. We're going to have some other guests joining the pod as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun. You can catch it at Reggie's. We're going to be on the stage and we're going to be putting out content before.
You might catch me there. You might catch me there. We'll see.
Oh, really?
I might make a sneaky surprise showing.
Well, if you make a sneaky surprise, come to the Reggie's. You'll be on stage. You'll be able to join us. We always like to have the Jackal King jump on board. So we got that one. And I'd also like to, again, thank, because I forgot to show this, so I'm going to give a shameless plug. This is Cam. He is retiring from rugby. And congratulations, my man. Well-earned, well-deserved. Good luck in the next phase. Cam, if you're watching, if you can give me one of those posters and it's signed.
Ooh.
I might invite you up ice fishing, which I know you want to do up here in Wisconsin. I get you out of ice fishing. I would break my vow to never ice fish, just to take you ice fishing, mate. So, because I'm not a fan of cold weather, but nevertheless, yeah, pretty cool to see him start his next phase. And I know that he and Ellen will be excited to start that. At any rate, Rick, have a great week. Enjoy it. We'll get you back on the pod. I know you can't wait to talk about USA as we start to head into the July internationals and into August to September with, some great, Pacific Nations. No, it's not PNC.
PNC, Pacific Nations. Yeah. Cup.
Yep. Yep. They brought it back. I forgot they changed or brought it back. Yeah. So, all right. With that, folks, again, growing rugby one fan at a time. And we can't wait to see you on the next pod. This was episode 212. Thanks to the Jackal King for joining me. And everybody, we will see you at the next.
Tired of the price of everything going up these days? Groceries, rent, you name it. It's all going up. But not at Metro. They've got your back. Metro has lowered their prices and are giving you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. One line? Now 20% lower. Family plans? Also lowered. Oh, and you also get a free 5G phone. All with no ID required and no activation fees. Stop by your neighborhood Metro store, visit metrobytmobile.com, or call to find out about their amazing offers. Bring your number, not available if currently at T-Mobile or with Metro in the past 180 days. Guarantee covers monthly price of on-network talk, text, and 5G data for customers activating on an eligible plan. Exclusions apply. Details at metrobytmobile.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.